Welcome to the Deep Dive. Our goal here is simple. We take a stack of dense source material articles, research papers, historical notes, and we pull out the essential insights you need to be, well, immediately well-informed.
And today, we're really going back to the very, very beginning.
We are. We're taking a deep dive into the story of Adam and Eve, but we're focusing intensely on how that traditional narrative interacts with, and frankly clashes with, the foundational claims of Mormonism.
Yeah, and this deep dive is it's absolutely crucial for understanding the faith's historical claims. You know, a lot of people focus on things like the Book of Mormon's historicity, or the first vision.
The big ones.
Right. But when you really dig into the sources, the Adam and Eve story quickly emerges as what some researchers call a smoking gun.
A smoking gun? How so?
Because the literal nature of the story is built right into the foundation of the theology.
Yeah.
And if that foundation turns out to be historically or, you know, scientifically flawed, the entire structure built on top of it is in serious trouble.
That does sound like high stakes. So our mission today is to unpack all of this. We've got sources from biblical scholarship, modern science, we're talking DNA, archaeology, and of course, Joseph Smith's own revelations.
We really need to understand why Adam and Eve have to be literal historical figures for Mormonism to work, and then see how that claim actually holds up.
Okay, so let's start with the traditional view. In a very literal, fundamentalist Christian sense, Adam and Eve were created by God around 4000 BCE. They're the original ancestors of, well, everyone.
And that traditional view is the starting point for Mormon doctrine. But it immediately hits a massive wall of scholarly consensus. Most biblical scholars, and certainly all secular historians and scientists, see the Genesis account as an ideological myth.
And we should probably mention there are actually two different creation stories right there in Genesis chapters 1 and 2.
Exactly. Which is a clue in itself.
Okay, let's pause on that term, ideological myth. That's central here. What does that mean exactly?
It means it's an origin story. It's used to give a community a purpose, an identity, and explain their covenant relationship with God. It's theology. It's not literal history. Think of it less like a transcript of what happened and more like a foundational story to teach truths about human nature, choice, that sort of thing.
And what's the evidence in the source material that suggests it wasn't meant to be read as literal history?
The main thing is its dating. Biblical scholarship strongly suggests the Adam and Eve story is a very late addition to the Bible. It was likely written during or just after the Babylonian exile. We're talking the 6th or 5th century BCE.
So long after the events it supposedly describes.
Millennia after. It's a narrative they're using to make sense of their past, not a history passed down from the very beginning. And that's a surprising fact that Joseph Smith would have had no way of knowing. The story that's supposed to be the oldest is actually one of the newest parts of the Old Testament.
Okay, that distinction myth versus history, it sets up this huge conflict right from the start. If Adam and Eve were created around 4000 BCE, that gives us, what, about 6000 years of human history?
Right.
And science, from multiple fields, makes that timeline. Well, you said it. It's not even remotely plausible.
Not even close. I mean, look at evolution and the fossil record. We know modern Homo sapiens started evolving in Africa around 315,000 years ago.
300,000 years.
And that's just us. That's just the tip of the iceberg. We have fossils of early human species, the hominins, that go back millions of years. Look at Lucy, Australopithecus afarensis. She was walking upright over 3 million years ago. These changes, they just take vast, vast amounts of time.
When you put those numbers side by side, 6,000 years versus millions, it's just staggering. But I can hear someone thinking, you know, evolution is just one theory. What about other scientific fields?
And that is the key. It's not just paleontology. This long timeline is confirmed by genetics, anthropology, archaeology, geology. They all line up. They all tell the same story.
They corroborate each other.
Completely. Genetics, for example, shows we share 99% of our DNA with chimpanzees and bonobos. That points to a common ancestor, deep, deep in time, not 6,000 years ago. We can even trace human migration out of Africa to at least 200,000 years ago using mitochondrial DNA.
I have to ask, though, isn't this just applying our 21st century science to a 19th century revelation? Is that a fair comparison to make?
That's a fair question, but the data is just. It's undeniable. And the history is literally running through our veins.
What do you mean?
Take the Neanderthals. They disappeared about 40,000 years ago. That's 34,000 years before Adam and Eve were supposed to have shown up. And that history isn't just in some rock somewhere. It's in your body.
Right. Many of us have Neanderthal DNA.
Exactly. And the fact that we can analyze that today, that we can see this ancient heritage from tens of thousands of years ago, It just proves the antiquity of our lineage. So when you have four independent scientific fields all agreeing on this long timeline, the claim of a 6,000-year start date just becomes scientifically indefensible.
Yeah. And look, this huge scientific conflict, it wouldn't necessarily be an existential threat to Mormonism if Joseph Smith hadn't taken this ideological myth and just cemented it as literal, verifiable history. He wove it tightly into his new scriptures, the Book of Mormon, the Book of Abraham, the Doctrine and Covenants.
And that's the core problem we're seeing here. By treating the Bible like a history book, he leaves these fingerprints of a 19th century worldview all over his scriptures, and that creates massive problems if the original story isn't actually true.
Exactly. Let's go back to the Old Testament for a second. We said the Adam and Eve story is a late addition. To show you how late, think about this. The early books of the Old Testament have zero, absolutely zero references to Adam and Eve.
No.
None. Yet they mention Moses 116 times, David 100 times. The early prophets just didn't seem to know or care about Adam and Eve. Their focus was on the covenant with Abraham and Moses.
Okay, so contrast that absence with the hyper-focus in the restored scriptures. The Book of Mormon mentions Adam 26 times, the Doctrine and Covenants 28 times. This is where that anachronism becomes impossible to ignore.
Right. Take the Book of Ether. It's supposedly from around 2200 BCE, and it talks about Adam like he's this well-known foundational figure.
But wait, that's nearly 1,000 years before biblical scholars say the Genesis story was even written.
You got it. He's inserting a theological figure who hadn't even been invented yet into his ancient history.
And you said the Book of Abraham is even more complex.
It is. The Book of Abraham, supposedly from 1650 BCE, treats Adam and Eve as literal history. But the specific creation story it uses, it pulls directly from what scholars call the Yahwist source, or the J source.
And that's a problem because...
because that Yahwist literary tradition wasn't compiled until over 1,000 years after the Book of Abraham was supposedly written. So Joseph Smith, assuming Adam and Eve was literal history, unknowingly pulled source material that wouldn't exist for another millennium into his ancient scripture. It's a definite 19th century fingerprint.
So the story gets literalized in scripture, which contradicts both science and the Bible's own internal dating. But it didn't stop there, did it? The commitment to this literal story actually became geographical.
This is where it gets really inconvenient. The Doctrine and Covenants contains a revelation claiming the Garden of Eden was located in Adamondiamon, Missouri.
In Missouri.
In Missouri. And that's supposedly where Adam and Eve went after the fall.
Wait a minute. Placing the Garden of Eden in Missouri means the entire human race originated there 6,000 years ago.
Precisely. Which is, you know, a huge problem since all the evidence points to human origins in Africa.
Yeah.
But you have to ask yourself, isn't it interesting that this foundational revelation about where humanity began happens to live in the very spot that the early saints just happened to be settling?
It's very convenient.
It perfectly ties the origin of mankind into the whole idea of American exceptionalism.
Mm.
America as the promised land, the new Zion. It's a perfect fit for the time.
And beyond geography, Joseph Smith claimed to have actual visions of Adam. He sees him as a literal person.
He does. In an 1836 vision recorded in DNC 137, he says he saw Father Adam and Michael separately in the Kirtland Temple. They're two distinct individuals.
But that changes, right?
Oh, it changes. This is where you can see the revelation evolving in real time. Later, when he's editing the Doctrine and Covenants, he revises section 27, and suddenly the two figures are merged. It now reads, Michael or Adam, the Ancient of Days.
So they're the same person. That's a massive contradiction about a foundational figure.
It shows the doctrine changing midstream. And this title, Ancient of Days, is the real starting point for the most radical doctrines about Adam.
Because in the Book of Daniel, the Ancient of Days is clearly...
it's God. It's God on his throne. So assigning that title to Adam elevates him to deity status.
But where did that idea even come from?
Well, what's fascinating is that the sources show it didn't originate with Joseph Smith as a revelation from God. The idea that Adam was the Ancient of Days was first suggested publicly by Sidney Rigdon.
His close associate.
Right. Oh. In 1834, in the Evening and the Morning Star, Rigdon makes this argument. And then less than a year later, Joseph Smith retrofits that idea into an existing revelation, DNC 27, and puts it in the voice of God.
So a theological theory from someone else becomes divine scripture.
That's the mechanism.
Yeah.
And Brigham Young just builds directly on that foundation. By 1852, he's asserting that Adam is our father and our God, a doctrine that was even taught in the temple. The literalization of Adam just snowballed into deification.
Okay, so given all of this, the scientific evidence, the historical evidence, the internal contradictions, we have to look at the modern church's position. It seems like the official stance is still rigidly committed.
Absolutely.
You see it with figures like Elder Jeffrey R. Holland, who argued as recently as 2015 that you can't really understand the atonement or the resurrection without believing in an actual Adam and Eve who fell from an actual Eden.
And that really highlights the trap that Joseph Smith's literalization created. The modern leadership has to maintain that rigidity. Because if the foundational history is proven false, if the 6,000-year timeline is just a story, then the whole theological structure built on it starts to wobble.
The plan of salvation, the fall, the need for the atonement.
Exactly. It all gets destabilized.
So to navigate this, you see apologists like at Fair Mormon trying to find some flexibility. They might say, okay, maybe the part about the rib can be taken figuratively.
Right. They concede the small stuff. But they have to guard the non-negotiables. They have to maintain that Adam and Eve were literal historical people, that they were the first priesthood patriarchs, and this is key, that their fall kicked off the 6,000 years of the Earth's temporal existence.
Which is a date that's fixed by Revelation in DNC 77.
It's fixed, and that fixed date is the source of the ultimate intellectual trap.
How so?
Well, if Adam and Eve start the world 6,000 years ago, what do you do with the 300,000 years of Homo sapiens who came before them?
Bro.
Or the millions of years of hominins? The only answer is to introduce this really problematic idea of pre-Adamites.
Meaning people without souls.
Essentially, yeah. Soulless creatures wandering the earth until Adam and Eve came along to introduce spirit and agency. It basically deems hundreds of thousands of years of human history totally irrelevant to the plan of salvation. And for what? Just to defend a 19th century literal reading of an ideological myth?
So to sum up the trap, Joseph Smith took a story that scholars agree was a late ideological myth. And he hammered it into his own scriptures as literal history.
That's it. And that one choice now forces the church to defend claims like mankind starting 6,000 years ago in Missouri that contradict the unanimous consensus of science and biblical studies. So to recap our findings, we've seen that science, history, and biblical scholarship are all in agreement that Adam and Eve are an ideological myth, a late biblical addition.
Right. But on the other side, Mormonism requires them to be literal historical figures, and that belief is cemented into its core scriptures, its visions, even its sacred geography.
Which results in these undeniable contradictions, both externally with science and internally within Joseph Smith's own changing revelations.
So we've watched a story that began as an origin myth become the literal, physical, and historical foundation for an entire religion. The core claims of the Restoration really do depend on a narrative that is just refuted by multiple academic fields.
And that leaves us with a final provocative thought for you to consider. If Adam and Eve are a mythical story that was cemented as a literal historical foundation, and if science, history, and even internal scriptural contradictions all point to that foundation being flawed,
then what does that imply about the mechanism of revelation itself?
Exactly. Is revelation a process of receiving divine eternal facts? Or is it a process of adopting, adapting, and literalizing the cultural ideas and narratives that are available at the time? That really is the question at the heart of this deep dive.